All right, welcome to another episode of Epic Failin. This episode here is actually a special episode. So even though we're at episode 30, we're scratching that. And this is episode 666 in the spirit of Halloween and horror movies. I have two awesome guests with me today. I have the Necronaut. And I have Visha Lu. Hello, Necronaut, and hello, Visha Lu.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're always so happy sounding, but you're so evil.
Yep.
Necronaut, if you didn't know, one of the things that Visha is highly involved with every year is the HorrorCon. So that's why she's actually an ideal guest. And why we are the 666 episode is because we're each picking six of our favorite horror movies or Halloween-themed movies or something to do with Halloween and presenting them on the podcast. So if there's three of us and three sixes, let's rock out. So I think what we should do is maybe, I don't know if you guys have organized your movies into your top six and you're going to go from... We could go from six to one, or we could just start rattling off ones. And if one of us has a duplicate to another one, what we could do is we could just meld them into that one thing so we could talk about them at the same time.
I didn't even write mine down.
You didn't even write yours down? Well, that's perfect. You know what? I love spontaneity. And there is no one more spontaneous than Visha Lu.
I'm like, yeah. Jeremy's grabbing me pen and paper. I'm like, yeah, I got this.
Nice. Okay. So I'm going to pick a number. So I'm going to let one of you two go first. I'm going to pick a number between 1 and 10. And whoever gets that one can.
3.
6.
Necronaut. You got her. Okay, so we're going to start off with the Necronaut. And what is your number six? Or if you don't have them numbered in any specific order, pick one and let's rock and roll.
I think we just have to go right into it. Honestly, ordering it, it's impossible. Point is that the latter six of my top picks are probably easily rotated out. Okay, but anyhow, okay. I'm looking more at my top three to start. So I would say 1982, John Carpenter's The Thing.
That's an awesome movie. I don't know if Visha Lu is too familiar with it. Are you familiar with The Thing?
Yes, I only watched it once, but I really had a thing against aliens of any sort when I was younger, and there was just certain things that I like heard about, and I'm like, nope. And then, yeah, then I did watch it eventually, yes.
One of the things that I really like about The Thing, well, there's a few things about The Thing. The isolation is really cool. And just it's cold, and you don't really see that often in movies where, you know, people are, you know, dealing with the extreme elements that we can have up here in Canada.
Yeah, I'm just looking outside today.
Yeah, today is our first kind of, well, I guess it snowed the other day, sort of, but it's the first kind of snow day that I'm thinking of.
And I always had a thing about The Thing, okay?
Okay.
On the first snowfall, you got to watch The Thing. Well, sometimes.
I like it. I like it. The other thing that's really cool is the special effects, right? No, it's not CGI. Like, and of course, it wasn't a thing back then. Every time I say thing now, it's gonna catch me.
This is perfect.
Yeah. So the special effects were insane in that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if only we, you know, resorted to that more often. You know, a lot of directors just don't want to bother with it.
There's huge art in that. And the spider-legged head, that's a great, great part too. Also the trust issues. This entity has taken over somebody that could be your best friend and how you recognize that.
Exactly. I mean, I already watched it kind of at the beginning of this whole pandemic, just because of the whole trust issues, and you're not sure who has the fucking virus.
I guess, you know what? That's a really good point.
I wish I remembered more of this movie. I just remember the cold.
The cold. I mean, well, it's, you know what? The atmosphere of it is a huge thing, and that's, that cold is, I think, just adds to the creepiness.
And I remember being very happy that it wasn't the aliens that I was more scared of.
And we'll get into that too. It's, What would you say is your, I'm going to let you just shoot with any one that you want to go with.
My favorite one, The Exorcist.
Nice. See, and actually this is kind of something interesting for the audience, is that I actually know what both of their lists are. I think I know, unless they've changed them. I know what both of their lists are. And so what I kind of did was, I didn't want to duplicate up on things, so I was able to add in a few other ones into the mix. But Visha Liu has actually did a really good job. Linda Blair was at one of the Comic-Cons, correct?
A Horrorcon, yes.
A Horrorcon. Sorry, not Comic-Con. Horrorcon.
Yeah.
And you did a pretty wicked job as Regan. You dressed up as Regan for that one, right?
Yes! It was my latex version. My original one was material. And yeah, I was so excited, and I brought my Ouija board and everything for her to sign, till I found out that's a very bad thing to do. But luckily her handler told me and I hit it, and so she didn't hate me. It was great.
Oh, perfect.
Could have been dangerous. But yeah, oh my goodness. And she's like, obviously you like this character. Hi, yes. And then I told her how I can go down the staircase, like how Reagan did it. And then she told me I was disgusting.
Visha is also a contortionist, so she can do the spider walk down the stairs.
You know, the cool fact, which I probably think you know, is that it wasn't in the original film, right?
Yeah.
But it was really cool when they brought it in. I think you and I went to the theater when it was re-released.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was so good. And even like, there's a few little things in it that they had added that I wouldn't call them jump scares, but things that are just like very creepy.
I think it wasn't originally in because the person didn't actually do it and the wires were showing or something, and they couldn't make it believable enough. So they took it out, and then that's why it was put in later, because they were able to edit the scene to look better.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Sounds very familiar. Yeah.
I think is what I read one time.
The music, the score is so good for The Exorcist.
When I was in Scotland in this castle, I was just having tea and they played Tubular Bells. They played The Exorcist song.
And oh, wicked.
I'm like, do you know what you're playing? And they're like, what? I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing.
That's awesome. It is your classic good versus evil. And I think especially when it first came out, which we're all too young for, but don't get to say that often. But so it was a little bit taboo probably at the time.
Oh, extremely. I mean, my uncle has so many stories about that, about people leaving early, people getting sick in the theater, being very traumatized. It's actually quite interesting hearing him tell these stories.
Yeah. I have, a client at work that she's also very religious, but she was saying that even the like trailers for it was super inappropriate, not what you should just have the general public see. Like, it's one thing to know what you're signing up for and go, but like to show that, like everything was way too much for her, and like she could not believe that was being shown.
Yeah, it's totally crazy, and it's still a great movie to plug in.
It was very defining, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because not really anything like that had been done before.
Yeah.
Not to mention the curse of the set, right?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy too. Do you want to touch on that?
I mean, from what I remember, there were some electrical issues. I think there were some deaths. I watched the thing on it recently, but I don't have my facts right here with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. It's definitely a must for the Halloween season, the Exorcist.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go with one, and it is a bit, you know, typical, but I'm going to say Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was reluctant to, because out of all the slasher movies, there's one that I think is definitely the best, and I find that there's not a whole lot of emotion behind the Michael Myers character. I do find it super interesting that they used William Shatner's face as the mask, but definitely Halloween. And I think I'd have to rewatch them both, but I think the Rob Zombie one, I think I do prefer that one.
I was going to ask if you like the original or the Rob Zombie one better. And I love the Rob Zombie one way more than
that. I can't remember it that well. I got to see it again. I rewatched the original recently.
Mm-hmm. I felt like Rob Zombie's one like gave Michael Myers like his reason, like the whole thing about the mask. And like, I don't know, you felt it more.
Yeah, I felt it. And I felt it was a little darker too, which.
Yeah. Like the way he did. Although I don't like, for my horror movies, I don't need backstories. I'm totally fine with like, I kill because I kill. Like, that's how I am as Visha. But I liked when there was a bit more to that character.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always good to have a little bit of backstory and just a little more depth to the characters, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
All right. So we got our first one done. Next one. You know what? Maybe we'll start off with Visha this time.
We will go with Gremlins.
That's a Christmas movie.
That's a comedy.
It's a comedy horror Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Hey, my sister was petrified of Gremlins. And we brought Zach to the HorrorCon, and there's lots of Gremlin things, so... Although it is hilarious, and I don't think a gremlin actually killed anybody besides the, like, science teacher, I think. Yeah, they just, like, they more fuck around than anything.
The guy with the snowplow as well, what about him?
Oh, the old guy, yeah.
Yeah, the old guy. The lady on the stair chair.
Okay, yeah, they killed a few.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I feel like they're just messing things up more.
Yeah, I do think it qualifies. It's funny because I remember, like, I was pretty young when I saw it, and I was actually, I think I was probably into horror movies, too, at the very basic level, when Spike, the spoiler alert, but when Spike kind of, like, melts at the end in that fountain, that was pretty, to me, it was pretty freaky.
Yeah.
And I like the rules.
The rules.
Yeah. Necronaut's all about the rules.
Yeah.
Every time I go into light, I feel like a gremlin.
Don't feed after midnight.
Don't feed after midnight. Don't get them wet.
One of my favorite shows that I perform, I'm a gremlin.
Yes.
I like start off as a mugwai, and then I eat chicken after midnight, and then I turn into a gremlin, and then I'm all bloody and stuff, and then, of course, I have to clean it off. So then it's to splish splash, I'm taking a bath, and then I'm all watery, and then I have little eggs in my hair that has like little Visha merchandise inside, and then I throw out my little eggs. Yeah.
Have you been able to do any shows lately?
No, but I have one tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Yes, at Dickens.
At Dickens. And
yeah, I made up this show in one night and then filmed it the next day for something else during lockdown. And I just really like it. So I am so excited to be on stage again. Oh my goodness, do I need this in my life?
That is awesome. Unfortunately, this is airing...
After, but
a week after. Do you have anything else coming up after that, though?
I don't know, like, say co-hosting, but I am working with Chris LaBelle. He is hosting a cannabis-infused dinner party October 30th and 31st, and I am being hired to creep people out.
Cool.
Yeah, scare people. And then I get to scare really stoned people.
That's even better.
I'm going to have so much fun. And yeah, one night I'm going to look like a creepy clown, and the other night I'm going to look like Reagan, and I'm going to chase people in like my Reagan walk and bridge.
That'll be so good.
I am so excited.
All right, Necronaut.
Yeah, I'm still here.
What's our next one? What are we going with?
You know what? Got to pick out something that's Argento. So I'm going with Opera.
Opera. I thought you might go Suspiria.
You know what? Suspiria is definitely the more known out of the two and maybe considered more classic, but there's something about Opera that just really has caught me in over the years. You know, it's just the whole enchantment of it all, you know, the arts and performance combined with like some serial killer and them playing metal music throughout the movie.
Yeah, like there's a play going on while there's the murders going on.
In some sequences, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they're doing Macbeth, I think is the...
Yeah, you got a good memory there, absolutely. It was on about how Macbeth was cursed, and so that's why this movie's playing on that.
Yeah, I think Argento was often missed when it comes to horror movie, maybe because it's, you know, all Italian, and then...
Italian, and a lot of people, you got to be, I guess, really a big horror fanatic, but, I mean, for me, it's definitely legendary, and I just, it's really captivating, but I also find that Argento is usually pretty straightforward and simple, right? Just like murder mystery of some serial killer.
Something up Visha's alley, so not a whole lot of backstory, just boom, right into it. Slasher style film.
Yeah. Although I haven't seen that movie.
It's definitely worth checking out some Argento movies for sure.
Yeah, if you're going to start, Suspiria or Opera would be probably your starting point.
I do love the soundtrack, though, with Suspiria.
They both have very good soundtracks.
Yeah.
I feel like my horror movie, although I love the world of it, I grew up on the island and I lived in the village of Brentwood Bay, and I thought our movie store there had all of the horror movies ever made. For some dumb reason.
Nice.
So, yeah, I thought I saw them all. Turns out I did not even fucking come close. And, yeah, I am behind on a lot of movies. And I fall asleep a lot. I really, like, I have to keep on moving. But I love horror movies.
That's because you're a workaholic.
Well, yes. We'll get together, all of us, for a horror movie marathon one day.
Yeah, for sure.
As long as I can craft at the same time, yes.
Nice.
Otherwise, I will sleep the whole entire time.
You're not allowed to sleep.
There's no stopping me.
There's no stopping Ryan either, but I keep waking him up.
we just got to start earlier.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so I think, okay, I'm going to go with my number two. Actually, I think it's probably my number one in a way. I'm going to say Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
Yep.
Like the original black and white one too. For some reason, I think it's just extra creepy with being black and white. One of the big things I think is, well, first of all, it launched the whole zombie theme. Like there wouldn't be 28 Days Later, which again is an amazing movie. There wouldn't be any Dawn of the Dead. It all started with Night of the Living Dead.
Yep.
And what I love about it too is it's sure you have the zombies and that's an issue, but I love how there was some social commentary in it and how it's the people and how they, you know, their inability to work together is probably more of a problem than the actual antagonists than the actual zombies.
Absolutely.
I know that Lord Necro is a big fan of the original Dawn, right?
I mean, Night of the Living Dead definitely set the standard, absolutely. I just think that Dawn of the Dead really, like, polished it up a bit better, but not in a super nice way, right? It just, like, it made that feeling of people trying to get along and the isolation and all that so much more because it was on, like, a bigger scale.
Yeah, I agree. The second pick was Night of the Living Dead, for sure. Alrighty, I am going to go with the Necronaut again. Let's do our number three.
Number three, oh my God. Well, let's just see here. You know what? I'm going to go with House of the Devil. So this movie really actually caught me because it was out in, like, I think it was 2009, but it was like a throwback to the 80s. And I just love the simplicity of the movie. There's not too many jump scares in this movie, a little bit, but it's more just the ominous flow, nail biting, like, fuck, what's around the corner? And it just kind of seems to get darker and darker and more sinister.
That's one I really did enjoy too. And actually, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Dario Argento. Maybe it's the whole 80s thing. It's a great movie. And they really do, yeah, pay homage to the 80s. It's super cool.
Yeah, and you know, because it's a little bit of a newer movie, so I don't want to give away anything, but you know, a little bit more interesting as you get towards the end.
Yes, there's elements of Dario Argento where it's like kind of pure slasher film, but there is some extra to it where it has more depth. That's what we'll go with. It has more depth.
But yet again, simplistic nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. All right, Visha.
Saw.
That is a gooder. I think because there was so many sequels,
yep.
Saw, I forget how good that first one was.
Yeah, it gets lost in the mix.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched Jigsaw, but I like when they first came out, I was obsessed and I could not wait. And then I think it was number 6 that I totally got lost and like didn't care anymore. And I'm like, bah. But like, yeah. The first ones and just the visuals, the way that people die just give you the heebie-jeebies and I fucking love it.
A great twist at the end too.
Yeah.
Like, I think that caught everybody by surprise. And I know a lot of people that are great at like predicting, and it's probably horrible. It's probably hell for them that you can predict the end of these movies. But I think that shocked a lot of people where it was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely had an impact when it first came out. I think the first 3 resonate with me still, but I kind of just fell off after it got to 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Saw kind of ties in with my next one, which is 7.
Nice.
Ooh.
Now, I've seen actually some people doing like a YouTube comparison between 7 and Saw. There is a lot of similarities between the two.
Yep.
Just thinking about that guy in the theater.
I was gonna bring this up. So I have known the Necronaut for a long time. So there used to be North Hill Theater, which was like a massive theater. And the Necronaut and I went to go see 7. In the theater, and we sit down, and okay, the lights are coming down. Just as they start to come down, this guy walks in, and he's like, Dave. This guy says, oh, over here, right? And right after that, the Necronaut yells out, no, over here. And then somebody else in the theater, like across, yells, no, over here. This poor sucker was just totally lost and like had no idea what to do. Definitely Saw is a great, great pick, and really, really love 7. 7 was creepy just all the way through and dark.
I think you have to really mention the bed scene, because even to this day, it's creepy to try and rewatch that scene where,
yeah, with all the little green air freshener trees.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just nasty.
I really like when gore or in like things are not even done like well, but like you really feel it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like how I feel like in Saw, like the close-ups and like how they show and like you really feel it and stuff. And when you enter that room in 7, seeing all the air fresheners, like you instantly like you know the smell without knowing the smell.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, and like and both of those, the ending on both of those movies where you're just like, oh, what? And 7, you know, a bit different, right? But it's like you're just like, ah, you know, at the end you're just like,
What's in the box?
What's in the box? That's a game we're going to play today. What's in the box? No, I don't have any prizes. But actually, I do.
Actually,
I do have a prize.
Is it in a box?
It's in a box.
Is it a hat box?
No, it's all... I'll have to put it in a box before. But anyway, so Necronaut, your next one.
Another one? Oh my God, are you sure?
We're each at 3.
Okay, fine. whatever. You know, we're going to go with newer stuff again. You know, the movie Sinister had an impact on me. Only the first one, though. The second one kind of sucked. First one felt like more of a somewhat original idea.
It was super cool. I loved the, I don't know if it was Super 8, but I love the element with that old, like, real film that Ethan Hawke came across. And it was just, it adds to that, like, you know, 8mm. Yeah, just, it's, oh, it was really good.
They really set the tone with that atmosphere.
Oh, and even better, the soundtrack.
And you know what was really cool about that? Of course, they had the score parts of it. But then they also had our favorite Norwegian band, Ulver.
Ulver, yeah. That added so much to the ambiance to that movie.
And it, you know what? It took me to getting to that movie to really appreciate that song by Ulver, because when it came out, I wasn't ready for it. You know, it was too minimalistic. But when they set the tone against those weird, no pun intended, sinister backgrounds and whatever, it was like, oh, damn, like, I gotta check this music out again.
There's something different about it, because Insidious was also, like, a big thing at the time, too, and in a very similar feel and, you know, supernatural kind of thing, but I think Sinister just, like, knocked it out of the park, though.
Absolutely.
All right. Visha Lou's number 4.
Let's go with Dead Girl.
I have shamefully not seen Dead Girl. What is Dead Girl?
Dead Girl is about these two kids in these two boys in school, and they skip school and they go to hang out at your local abandoned insane asylum type place. And when they're going around, they come across this body that is in this area and it's chained up and stuff. And the whole movie is basically about them raping this dead body.
Oh, God.
There's a lot to it. And so, yeah, they just, like, they find this body and she just becomes their, well, this one guy mostly, like, sex object. And then things get even more weird in this mat. And this one time when he's having sex with her, he gets too violent and he kills her, and then she doesn't die, and so then he just gets worse with things, and then he brings other people in, and then things change, and I think I think it's a love story.
that's awesome.
It sounds familiar to a necromantic.
But most people don't think of the movie the same way as me. But also, me, Visha, is a necrophiliac, so I just feel like he's very loving and caring, and one of them, not the other one. But yeah, watch it. Yeah,
it's worth a watch, you're saying?
Yes.
When did it come out? When was it released?
2008.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's, yeah, relatively new.
Yeah. And it was funny, the day that I watched it, Jeremy picked two movies, Dead Girl and The Fall. And I was like, oh, let's watch Dead Girl first because I like dead things. And so I watched that and I was like, wow, whew, not what I expected. Okay. Mm-hmm. Digest that. Okay. Yep. Hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. And then I watched The Fall, and it is, like, so beautiful and sad, and, like, it's a great movie. I don't know if you've seen that. But, like, I feel like so many people haven't seen both of those movies that I saw in one day, and they both impacted my life.
Dead Girl. That's awesome. You know what? I always like when I get something that I haven't seen and somebody suggests. The Necronaut is one of my go-tos for that. He's always some different ones that he can pull out of his hat. Right on. Yeah, I'll have to check that one out for sure. Yeah,
I'm down to check it out.
If you need, like, backstory of why this and why that, then you're going to be very disappointed. But if you're just like, what the fuck is happening? Why are these boys doing this? What the fuck? Just go with it.
Because they're boys and they're creepy.
Yeah. You're like, wow, really? You find a body in an abandoned place and this is your go-to? This is what you choose to do with it?
Yeah, that's, is it really dark or is there like a comedy element to it or is there?
No, I wouldn't say that's a comedy.
Like a like dark comedy kind of thing. Like yeah, but no.
No, okay. I feel like it, like matter of fact.
Okay.
Like, yeah, the writing isn't necessarily great.
It's two thumbs up from Visha Liu.
Yeah.
right on. That's awesome. All righty. I was stuck on one. I think I'm going to have to say The Blair Witch. Now, only because they did the found footage thing so well and they were quite indie. It kind of launched this whole found footage thing, which got so over the top. But it led into what another movie that I thought was like really cool. Like if it wasn't for the found footage of The Blair Witch, I don't think you would have Paranormal Activity, which I really, really enjoyed. But because Blair Witch is the first of its kind or the first of its kind that became really popular, that would be my go-to. And I love their marketing behind it too, how everybody thought that they're actually still missing.
Yes. I feel like the original going in, yes, like set you up. I unfortunately didn't see it until you knew that it wasn't anymore. And I feel like not having that set up definitely changes it, which makes it not as good. Like, it's not as scary. The setup definitely, I feel like, I don't know, at least for me and my friends. My friends were really scared, but I saw it later.
I remember when it came out, so we went to the theater, and at the end of the movie, it definitely played like a psychological role on you a bit. You were like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's some people that got like physically ill from it just because it's like that constant moving.
Oh,
and
shake
it.
Yeah.
There's definitely positive and negatives about it. I mean, I'll never forget. My uncle ruined it for me because when I showed it to him, he was so sick of the girl crying in it and sobbing. He said, shut up. And I'm like, okay, well, are we going to watch the movie or what?
But no, she keeps on crying.
I enjoyed the movie, and actually I've still been intending on watching the remake, but I haven't gotten all the way through it.
The remake?
2016, there was a remake. Yeah. I'll have to show you.
This I did not know.
I did not know that.
I've watched some of it. It looks all right. It's probably not going to have the same impact as the original, but I think it's worth probably watching once, at least.
All right. Necronaut.
Silent Hill.
Oh, that's
I love the atmosphere of this movie, you know. There is a few jump scares, but I just love the ominous atmosphere throughout this movie. You know, starts out kind of like really mysterious, and then it's kind of desolate, and you're trying to kind of connect what's going on. And then things get darker and darker, and you realize that there's a threat. And then you kind of carry on, and you see, like, the dark past of what happened with the town and the people in it and the children and whatnot. And it just really carries you on this, like, ride. For me, it'll never get old.
Now, something I found out about it is that, yeah, it started from a video game. It's actually an adaption from a video game.
That's right, yeah. I played it back in the day.
Did you play it before watching the movie?
I did play it before watching the movie, but I never, like, I didn't own it. I was playing at a friend's house, so I never got through, like, a lot of the game. So I only got a little bit of a vibe on it, but I never got the full effect.
So for a video game adaptation into a movie, I think that's... Because I really enjoyed Silent Hill. I thought Silent Hill was amazing. I thought it was like, yeah, super cool and dark, and the acting is good in it. Like, there's nothing that I thought was cheesy about it, which sometimes will pull me out of a good horror movie. But I can't name that many good adaptations from video games to movies, you know, whether it's horror, like fighting game movies that have...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was really surprised the direction they took it. I mean, I can't say I was like a huge video game fan of that particular one, but overall, I mean, even the twists they had towards the end and at the very end is another story, right?
Mm-hmm. Lori Holden's in that one.
Yeah, she was a lot younger then, right? Yeah.
From Walking Dead and from The Mist.
Oh, The Mist, yeah. The Mist, that one. Another one, yeah.
I love the way that one ends.
Was there like an alternative ending too on The Mist? I think there was.
With Thomas Jane?
Yeah. Or maybe not.
I only know just one.
Just the dark ending.
It's a really dark ending.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, everything's fine. Yeah. You just waited like 5 minutes, man.
It just needed the like womp womp womp.
Yeah. Like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's just, yeah. I love those endings again. Like, you know, you were talking about this with Saw and stuff where you just leave and you're like, Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one for that. Yeah. But yeah, Silent Hill, definitely. That's a really good pick. And even though it's an adaptation from a video game, I do think it has such a unique, has a very unique feel to it compared to like your typical horror movies.
Yeah.
It was definitely original with its writing.
Yeah. And back to Visha Liu.
Let's go with American Psycho.
American Psycho. You have some interesting ones because like Gremlins, I can see. I had this problem too when I was making my list. There's a few that I was like, I'd like to say, you know, like Jaws, for example, right? Like, because it like freaked the shit out of people to go in the water for years and probably still does. yeah. So it's like huge effect on people, but I can't really count it as like a Halloween or horror movie that way. But American Psycho, go. what's your favorite thing about American Psycho?
His personality, him, Patrick Bateman. I love that he watches himself while having sex in the mirror.
The pointing in the mirror.
Yeah, I love all of his steps to do his face, how much he like obsesses over the business cards. And the scene when the guy's like, is that a raincoat? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Fucking smashes him over the head.
That's so
like
good.
Chasing the girls naked with a chainsaw down the staircase.
Yeah, I forgot that was such a good movie. And that's Batman.
Yeah.
Right. Classic.
He's playing Hip to Be Square.
Oh, Hip to Be Square, yeah. It's the business card scene I really like too, you know, being, yeah, like doing the real estate thing. It's like I could identify with it a little bit. People are like, ooh, look at my business card and look at my.
Yeah.
And how he's like, gets like one-upped, you know, he's all happy and he's all like at the top of his world and he gets one-upped and it's like, it's just, you can just see him just writhing.
Viral. Yeah.
That was really, really good.
I have this dress that is white with blood splatters on it, which I have other versions, but this one has Patrick Bateman's face on it with the blood splatters. And I love when people go, is that Patrick Bateman? I go, yes, it is. And I laugh and laugh, and they don't think I'm as funny as I think I am.
I might have to rewatch it sometime.
Yes.
I actually rewatched it, and I got a lot more out of the rewatch on it than I did the first time out of it. I think it's what I was expecting, something so different. Yeah. So do you know what? I'm thinking of a couple that are like honorable mentions that I'll have to mention at the end, because it's like as we're kind of like naming these off. My next one is going to have to be Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, wow. You kind of caught me off guard there.
Hey, did I catch you off guard with Bram Stoker's Dracula?
A little bit.
It was very, very true to form for, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula, which I guess makes sense. But I just thought it was very stylish. They took that, you know, like a period, almost like a period piece, but really made it stylish. And Gary Oldman is just like a superstar in everything he does. You know, to look at him in one of my other favorite movies, State of Grace, or one of my other really favorite movies,
True Romance,
as that's Drexel. To go from Drexel to Dracula, like, that's pretty awesome. That would be definitely one of my picks. And again, yeah, I have no idea how to put these in order at all. So
I'm just looking at my piece of paper and I'm like, which one do I want to talk about next?
Yeah.
I just like so many that they just seem like good ones to talk.
Well, it's so funny because it's like, for a genre, like, there's so many different like elements to the horror genre. And I think it's sort of like, doesn't get its fair shake sometimes for like awards and accreditations. And I think sometimes they can have like really great social commentary, you know, with whatever they're talking about. Like, yeah. So, okay. Necronaut or Visha for the next one?
Pull a number out of a hat.
Pull a number out of a hat? Okay, pick a number.
2.
6.
Oh. Okay, pick another number.
3.
42.
Okay, that would have to be the Necronaut. It was 8. So you both were really close last time, and it was, I'm like, well, nope. Visually was way off on that one.
Damn it.
But anyway, this would like wrap up your 6, I guess.
This is difficult, of course. And I think I talked to you about this already. You can't really consider this a horror film, but The Crow. It's just such an absolute classic for me. It shares that total, utter passion. And it hasn't wavered since that day when it came out.
I think we went to see that as a sneak preview.
I think I went with you. I also went with another friend at another time. I saw him multiple times.
I saw, yeah, I've definitely watched that movie more than I can count. Eric Draven.
Soon to be Devil's Night.
Yeah, soon to be Devil's Night. Fire it up.
Honestly, it has everything that like I'm interested in. It has the romance, it has the violence, the goth and the darkness and the death and everything, you know? It's all wrapped up into one, and the vengeance. So it's just like, for me, the perfect movie.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I was a big Brandon Lee fan too at the time, as in really, really heavy into martial arts, and big Bruce Lee fan. And then seeing Brandon Lee in that role was, yeah, super, super cool. And then the craziness of the story behind that too, with him passing away.
Yeah, another one of the cursed sets. Yeah.
And yeah.
I knew that story a lot better. Yeah.
One interesting thing is that, like, so his dad, Bruce Lee, one of the last movies that he didn't finish either, that he didn't accomplish, was a movie called Game of Death. And what it is it's based upon an actor being chased by the, I think the Triads or something like that. For this actor that Bruce Lee was playing to get away from the Triads, what he had done is he staged his death on a movie set. And the way he staged his death on a movie set was something like, the last scene, he was supposed to run out and do like a flying sidekick to the camera, and there was a firing squad, and one of the guys had a real bullet. And, you know, this is all part of the story. Again, it's hard to distinguish what it is, but it's so in the storyline of Game of Death, he fakes his death by killing himself on set. But Bruce Lee, the actual guy, didn't have a chance to finish the movie because he passed away before he had a chance to finish Game of Death. And the fact that Brandon Lee, his son, passed away in that, like, actually passed away in that same
similar manner.
Same manner is just, it's like mind-boggling. It's totally a trip.
I mean, like, I just actually watched it again, what's going on, where they explain it even better. But to sum it up, like, Brandon Lee, of course, was on set, and there was these guys using live ammunition for something else, and somehow something wasn't checked when they were supposed to check the chamber, and there was still like the top of the bullet slug in it or something. It loaded up with blanks. We're going to do this scene now. Bam! One shoots into Brandon Lee, and it's ultimately his death, not then and there, but he died shortly after in the hospital, which is even more freaky because of how they carry the story on with his wife, who was cut and raped in the scene and then died hours later in the hospital.
Yeah, it's so super sad, but it's an incredible movie. Love the villain.
Which one? There's several.
I always think of Tintin with the knives.
Tintin, yeah, Tintin with the knives. Good call.
And what, Michael Wincott?
Michael Wincott, yeah, the head guy.
Yeah, and of course, our favorite. Remember?
Which one is that?
You're wasting it.
You're wasting it. Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, how they say, like, who gets married on Halloween, like, anyway or whatever?
Yeah.
And then they say nobody because they died. I got married on Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome.
I made it to my day and no one tried to kill me.
There you go. Well, it can't rain all the time. So
Right?
Yeah. It's definitely in my top movie. And it's one that I had thought about, too. And I'm like, but is it? You know, am I focusing on like ghouls and slashers and stuff like that? Or, you know, but it's, I guess, you know what? Because it's set at Halloween time. Yeah. I think it's an excellent
pick. Because it holds a certain darkness to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Vishaloo, you're up.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's, you know what, that was on my list.
I actually just rewatched those back in summer.
When you say those, did you go through all of them?
I went through all of them, yeah. But part one is definitely the strongest. I also like Dream Warriors, though.
Oh, yeah, one and three. Dream Warriors is amazing, yeah.
When I made my Freddy costume, I rewatched them all while making it. And yeah, I love the overuse of blood, like when it came out of the bed and it's everywhere. I love his ridiculousness and the comedy to it. And
yeah, he wasn't so much comedy in the first one, which I kind of liked. No. You know, but he had personality. And that's something, like, in the beginning of this podcast, I was kind of talking about Halloween and the slasher thing and Mike Myers. Like, so out of all the slashers, definitely Freddy is my favorite because he has personality.
You
got personality, kid.
yeah. And like sass.
Mm. Yeah. Johnny Depp was in
yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even look like Johnny Depp. It's like pre-Johnny Depp looking like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
I always forget that it's him and then I stare and I'm like, I guess. But he's so little.
He was so little. Dream Warriors was good. Dream Warriors is totally one of my favorites. But I also really liked, I think it's A New Nightmare. So I don't know if they consider that like part of the...
Oh, yeah. It's definitely part of it. It was the last installment.
Which is, I don't know, it's like five or six or...
I think it's seven.
Seven?
I think it's six or seven, yeah.
But and I like how they kind of like, not reality, but it's based on like the actual actors playing, you know, and they do like a breaking the third wall or whatever kind of, I thought that was actually really, really smart of them. The other thing I really like about Nightmare on Elm Street is that it's also like the idea behind it is not just, oh, it's a slasher film. It's like he gets you in your dreams. And I think that was very unique at that point too.
That reminded me, oh my goodness. As a kid, I had nightmares all the time. And not because I watched horror movies since I was like, I think I started watching Pet Sematary was my first one. And I think I was seven. And like, I loved horror movies, but I just like all my life, my dreams have always been nightmares. That's just what they are. And although I watched tons of horror movies and like Poltergeist and stuff, I would not watch Nightmare on Elm Street because I could not handle having Freddy in my dreams. And like my dreams already were like fucking me up too much and stuff. And I remember like going to bed being like, I just want to dream of Care Bears, please, Care Bears. And then in my fucking dream, no heart comes and kills all the Care Bears. Yeah. But yeah. And then when I finally watched Nightmare on Elm Street, I was so disappointed that I didn't watch it when I was younger and how much I loved them. And then now rewatching them with how I am nowadays, like when I was younger, I could at least get scared from horror movies. Now I like look at them and I think they're cute.
Exactly, right?
Like,
I think it was music that also tied me in with Nightmare, because Dawkins did Dream Warriors.
Yeah, it's so good. The Dawkins.
When I saw that video, I was like, I have to check this out.
I actually have on vinyl. I bought it like way back in the day. Now that vinyl's coming back, it's pretty cool. But I have the soundtrack. So there's like Dawkins. I think Samantha Fox has a track on there.
Throw it on, man.
Yeah. But yeah, it's super cool. So to wrap it up, I'm going to go newer too. And I'm going to go The Ring.
That was on there too. Yes.
I almost, when I was texting you about my movies, I was going to say Ringu, the Japanese version.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's just so many to juggle.
You know, I could go on forever with like the lists. And I mean, one of the things that really made me decide The Ring or Ringu, both are great. And I mean, I tend to go with the original usually, but I think they did such a great job with the North American version. But I think something that gives a movie credibility is its like staying power. And so with Nightmare on Elm Street, is the 1, 2, Freddy's Coming for You. Everybody can recite that, or pretty much everybody can recite that. With The Ring, that whole 7 days, everybody was doing it. Everyone was like, 7 days.
I love creepy little girls.
The creepy little girl. And I remember one of the very first, like we see the death scene of the first body. It was like, it was definitely had me jumping.
Yeah.
But, it was definitely very impactful. I remember that. It was super
impactful.
The Ringu version, a little bit different, but still impactful.
Yeah.
My cousin named his daughter Samara. From The Ring.
Well, that's trying to throw a pun out there, but that's a good name. But yeah, you know, coming up with this list, it was actually really, really good. And I think, yeah, all really good choices. And I think the only one I haven't seen is Dead Girl, so I'll have to check that out for sure. But yeah, I think both of you have like a good grasp of awesome horror movies. And if there's any that the audience hasn't seen, these are all really good ones to check out. So definitely check them out. Some of my ones that didn't make the list, I don't know why, like I mentioned Jaws before, and I think that it was just because it's not in that creepy element, but Alien was another one. And more so with Aliens, where it was like very sci-fi, I think Alien could have squeaked in there, but I was like, no, I'm going to put it under sci-fi.
Nope.
Yeah, nope. Right on. Is there any ones that are coming up that either of you are excited for?
Are they remaking The Exorcist?
No.
I hope not. That's like something that will just get ruined.
Yeah. Speaking of remakes, another great one that didn't make it to my list was Evil Dead.
I was going to say that. I was just looking through my movie collection. I'm like, Evil Dead, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you know, it's great. It's just not quite there, but it's almost.
Yeah, it's almost there. Yeah.
One that I wish I could have fit in the six was Poltergeist. That one I watched when I was little, and my little sister looked like Carol Ann.
Oh, and yeah.
It is the only horror movie to actually scare. Yeah, it really scared me. I definitely had nightmares because of that movie, and in my movie above my bed there was a hole, and like out of the hole came all of the horror movie characters that I had seen up to that, and yeah, I was so scared. That's because my sister looked like Carol Ann. Thought it was gonna come to my house.
All right, so now that we've done this,
well, you know what? I want to throw in a few.
Oh, too. Yeah, throw in a few more. Yeah, definitely.
I say like Ringu. I didn't really get to add that, but we talked briefly about it. I do feel that Friday the 13th made a huge impact, and I really love those movies. They're just not in my top six, but But first Friday the 13th, second and third, those ones, the first three.
It was really good, and it was really hard for me not to throw them in because I have, you know, and I was thinking really hard about the top, the trifecta, right? Where you have Freddy, Michael Myers, and Jason. And it's like you almost can't have Halloween without those three.
Right.
The problem, again, I keep going back to with Michael Myers and Jason is that they just don't have that personality.
I know. But, I mean, it also, I guess, coincides with atmosphere and whatnot.
Yeah. And the first one, I love that as like a horror movie trivia for somebody that's maybe not boned up on it, is, you know, who's the protagonist or who's the villain or whatever in Friday the 13th. And everyone's like, oh, Jason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's kind of flipped the sides a bit, yeah.
But it's not really. It's Jason's mom.
Yeah. Mom!
Mom!
I also think like, there's some other really dark stuff some friends showed me in Norway recently. I don't know why I didn't check that out earlier, but Necromantic and 1 and 2, very dark stuff. But
oh, okay. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, very dark stuff. You got to be in the mood for it. It's a love story. That's why when you mentioned Dead Girl, I was kind of like,
Have you guys seen Martyrs?
I was just going to say Martyrs.
You know why that movie like tricked me so much that I never want to see it again?
It's intense. That last scene when like she's hanging.
The whole third act in that movie is difficult to watch.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
And I love me my like gore and fucked up shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But when it comes with certain things, you're just like,
I guess woo! There is a line that can be crossed in this genre.
Yeah.
You know what, for now, and it's like, you know, who knows? Like we were talking earlier about The Exorcist and people like getting sick and walking out of it. The remake of Hills Have Eyes, actually, I was in the theater for that, and there was an intense moment in that, and there was a few people that walked out on that one.
Yeah, that scene's burnt into my head.
It's pretty brutal. But, like, Martyrs just takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to play What's in the Box?
Yes, What's in the Box?
Okay, we're doing this just for the people that are listening to this because there's no video. I have a box here. It's sort of like a little file box. Now, in it is a movie. I'll give you some hints. And it's going to be a tougher one. So a Calgary producer is involved in this one. And let's see. You know what? I actually seen it when I went through, as doing some research and going through like Rotten Tomatoes and whatnot. And actually it showed up in the top like 200 horror movies. I think it was like even like number 16 or something like that. But it takes place on the water. It's relatively within, I don't know the exact date, but within the last probably, definitely within the last 10 years, I'll say. I think it was actually 2017 or 18, I think is when it was made. So yeah, based in the water, Calgary producer, and involves three friends and just sort of some misunderstandings that happen throughout it.
Well, who has to guess?
I will let Visha guess first, if she has a guess, or she can defer to you.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Are you pretty boned up on Calgarian producers and horror movies that have been...
No, I do not know.
Set in the water there, Necronaut?
What do you want to know?
Do you want the name of the movie?
The name of the movie? Isn't a movie called Harpoon?
Harpoon! you will win that movie. I'll get... Do you want... I'll get,
oh, my God!
you win. Do you want, and I am going to get, just as a thank you for doing this, Visha Liu, I am going to get you a secondary prize as well.
Ooh. Jeremy, he was Googling and he got the movie right after he said it, but mine would have been cheating. But Jeremy was not quick enough for me.
That's funny. Shout out to Jeremy too. Like Jeremy's like, for years, we've kind of had mutual friends and connections and whatnot. Like, Jeremy's such an amazing photographer. Like, he's really, really good. So big shout out to him as well. Yay! So I want to thank you both for an amazing episode. If there's anything you want to promote, I know we talked a little bit about like HorrorCon and whatnot. That's canceled this year, is that not?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was going to be year 10 too.
Can you tell us about what would happen at HorrorCon?
It's bad. I've been a part of 10 of them, but I only like all of them. Well, I guess that's 9. But I don't actually know fully what goes on because I'm always at my booth. So there's booths, but I know that there's screening and other things that go on. But yeah, the first night there's the VIP party where I normally perform at. It's been up at like the top of the Calgary Tower, and then it was at Dickens. And then the convention is the Saturday and Sunday. And there's always a great lineup of celebrities. I've got to meet some of my like favorite people, like Linda Blair.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I have so much fun at it. Yeah. It's really grown from being in like the cafeteria at the university, I think was where the first one was.
I think a couple of years ago, a friend of mine went with her fiance or something, and she sent me pictures all of a sudden because somebody was, I'm not sure if it's the real Jason or impersonating him, but he like went and grabbed her throat. Totally freaked out.
Oh, if that was Kane Hodder, that's definitely how he like does photos with people.
It probably was Kane Hodder.
That's amazing.
Oh, and then I have this bloody couch. His name is Couchy. And he just didn't come to the first one because he didn't exist then. But otherwise, this couch has been to 8 of them and this cage. And I think people get more photos with my couch than possibly me. And people put their kids in my cage and stuff. It's pretty funny. I'm a babysitting service at the HorrorCon.
That's good. In 2021.
What?
Well, we'll join you at the HorrorCon.
Oh, I'm like, I didn't hear the first part. What's happening? Yes. Oh, I really hope that gets to happen. I was so excited. I was making I make costumes every year for it. But this year I was going to be a xenomorph. And I'm sitting staring at it. And it's my first time using foam and learning how to like mold that stuff because I work with latex normally. And then my friend that's always with me, Eddie, she's going as Ash and Elvira. And my second day costume, I ended up switching. So we don't have one anymore. But yeah, we've been Gremlins and Pennywise and so many characters. That's over the awesome. 9 years.
So where can people check you out, Visha?
At vishaloo.com, VISHALOO.com, or on social media. I'm the only one, so it's easy to find me.
Cool. And Necronaut, I know that you did have your Necronaut's Crypt of Terror. Are any chance of that coming back around at any point?
Oh, yeah, it's always possible. I mean, it's kind of sporadic right now, but you know, never say never.
Nice. Great metal show. It was an internet metal show. And definitely. I think there's people out there that are dying for the Crypt of Terror to come back. So keep an eye out. Oh my God. If I stay on here any longer, I'm going to start thinking of more like The Descent. I just thought.
Okay. One quick thing on that. I really want to host like a camping night or whatever and have it at the base of a mountain with like a cave behind us and watch The Descent with a cave behind us.
Spelunking.
Yeah.
Nice.
What if The Descent turns into The Descent?
Exactly.
That would be good.
I started thinking of this because horror movies don't scare me anymore. And I used to be able to put myself in the place of the characters and be like, oh yeah. But I thought if I watched The Descent at like where they could be behind me, like legit, I don't know. Maybe there's creatures like that. I don't know, man. And then watching it, oh, nope. I think I'll actually be scared. I really want to do it.
Okay, well, that wraps up our episode. So, Vishalu and Necronaut, until next time, and the audience, until next time, stay epic.
Thanks again for listening to Epic Phelan. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Ryan Phelan, and visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.